Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Mini Crush Monday with me, Chuck, and him, Noel. How's everyone doing?
Good, Chuck. Great. Not so great.
So good. Okay. I'm good.
My voice sounds funny this morning. I have like a sleepy voice, but I've been up for hours. I don't know what's going on with me.
What time did you get up, Noel?
8. I guess that's 2 hours. Hours.
2 hours.
That's plural.
Yeah. Why do you sound sleepy?
I don't know, dude. It just hasn't fully woken up, even though my brain has.
Have you spoken to anyone else today?
I have. I had a call at 9 a.m. I spoke plenty, but I noticed I sounded extra sleepy on that call. I don't know. Let's see. It wasn't like a constant talking thing, so maybe I'll exercise my old vocal cords on this one, and I'll start to sound a little more human. How are you?
I'm great, Noel. I have a catch-up on our list here, since this is episode 1 of 2 that we're recording.
Yes.
We just had our Father's Days. How was yours?
It was good. Mine took place in Los Angeles.
Let's hear about the trip.
Yeah, I went for a work trip, and I took my kid with me and had a little bit of downtime. And she's, you know, into vinyl all of a sudden. Not all of a sudden. She just, you know, compared to last year when we went, her tastes and, you know, interests have changed, as it turns out. And
right.
So we went to Amoeba, and she got some cool records, and took her to little Tokyo and went to a bunch of, like, cool anime stores. She's into all that stuff, and went for a drive up Mulholland and had a little picnic overlooking the city, and it was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Well, that's lovely. Noel, did you get some business done?
Oh, big time. Yeah. I mean, I had like a whole, you know, day and a half working in the studio.
In our Hollywood studio.
In our Hollywood studio on Cosmo Street. That's right.
How's everyone doing?
It was one of the first sessions that has happened there since the pandemic. Most of the shows out there are still recording from home, but they made some time for me in a show that I'm working on, and I had the run of the place for a day and a half, and
yeah.
It was great.
I'm surprised. I would think they would get back into it soon in person.
I would too, and I think they are, but session was one of the first that had been done there. In fact, there was a few pieces of equipment that like had been taken home for some remote setups, and they were kind of like, wait a minute, we don't have enough mics, so we had to kind of run around and scramble and get some extra mics, but it all worked out beautifully.
So, Noel, I'm glad you had a good Father's Day. Mine was very low-key. We had a lot going on in our personal family situation, so... It wasn't like a big celebratory day, but those happen, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I am actually having a bit of a belated Father's Day cookout thing this weekend because we were traveling. So me and the kid and her mom and her sister are going to do a little pool cookout thing for like a belated Father's Day. So I'm looking forward
to
that.
Nice. Well, that's good. I don't make a big deal out of Father's Day. I try to just maybe spend it with my family. That's what you want to do, right?
For sure. Exactly.
Like, I don't get the Father's Day who you want to like, I want to go play golf all day and be away from my family.
No. No. Why? That's what it's for. It's for spending time with the family and the kids.
Exactly. Agreed. All right, Noel. We're going to get going here with a post I put up, which is, you are a film director. This is the game. Everyone's a film director in this game, Noel.
I love it.
And you can only cast one of the actors in your whole movie, and the studio takes care of all the rest of the casting. So this is sort of like, it could run the gamut from who would you just most want to work with to, if you only had one person to cast, who would be your ringer to come in and potentially, you know, save a movie from potentially poor casting. And so, you know, it kind of depends on how you take this question. I left it a little more open-ended.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be someone you have a big fat crush on. Maybe you're a star and you want to, well, you wouldn't be able to cast yourself, I guess.
Why not?
Well, because you can only cast one.
But it could be yourself.
Okay, sure. You could cast yourself. But my whole point was you cast yourself to like have a kissy-kissy scene with someone that you got like the hottie Oddy Toddy's for.
I see.
But you can't do that because you can't cast two.
You can't. That's right. That is the limitation of this game. There's some good ones in here. I mean, I guess this ultimately is like, who is to you the most versatile kind of ringer, you know, actor that you could bring in that would like elevate the production, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's one take on it. So we'll start here with old friend Don Morris says, Emma Thompson. She could punch up my script. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Get someone who can also do some writing.
Is that a thing she does? I didn't know that.
I think Emma Thompson writes some.
Oh, I was thinking. Sorry, I was thinking of Emma Stone. Emma Thompson is like was married to Kenneth Branagh for many years, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I believe she's done some screenwriting. Emma Stone. Mm-hmm. She can't write her name, Noel. Let's be honest. No, I bet she's a writer.
I'm sure
everyone's a writer.
It's true.
That's actually not true at all.
No, but it is like you do tend to run into folks that, you know, have their pet screenplay they've been working on, even if they're mainly known for being an actor.
That's right. Annie Rawl says, I'm going to go with Carol Lombard. Yeah, we can go with Living or Dead, I think. She was Clark Gable's wife and a wonderful actress in the old screwball comedies until her premature death in a crash. She'd have been fun to work with. Okay, so there's fun to work with. That's a good one. I mean, do you have one?
I really like that dude Caleb Landry Jones a lot.
I'm looking this person up.
He played the psychopath with the lacrosse stick in Get Out. He's been
that's
in a
your
lot.
Casting.
I just like him. I really dig him a lot. I think he's
got a really
excellent.
Interesting face.
He has a very interesting face. He tends to play offbeat kind of psycho type characters, or at the very least kind of weirdos. But yeah. I'll tell you, man, he made this record that's called like White Flag or something like that. It is incredible. It sounds like Tom Waits meets Sergeant Pepper or something. The dude is like an absolute maverick-y kind of weirdo, and I love him very much.
So that's why you're casting him, because you can hang out with this guy.
I want to hang out with him. And
you can
maybe
make some music.
Maybe make some music. Maybe, you know, smoke some weed or something.
Some jazz cigarettes maybe might be involved.
Yep, I think it's possible.
Okay, I get it. What if he was like a straight edge and he was like, I don't party, man. What are you talking about?
Oh, dude, watch interviews with him. There's no mistaking where he's coming from. Which garage he parks his car in? Right?
Yes, exactly. Rachel Forlinger says Gary Oldman. Sure, about versatile.
Yep.
Steve Scott says Val Kilmer pre-Batman. He was so brilliant and so fun in so many roles. And I'm sure he'll get along fine with whomever the studio chooses, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Eric Z says Kate Winslet. Yeah, that's really not a bad choice.
No.
She's amazing. Just watched behind the scenes of Mayor of Easttown.
Did you finish the show?
No, I haven't watched any of it.
Oh, you just watched the behind the scenes?
No, that's the comment from the listener.
Oh, I thought you were saying that. No. I remember you said that you'd watched one episode of it and that it was too depressing. And then I hear you say
that. Yes, that is correct. I didn't even make it through 15 minutes of an episode.
Got it.
But I did watch one of your recs, and that's coming up in Stream This.
Fabulous.
And I think it's the first time either one of us has watched any of each other's recommendations.
Okay. I mean, I can't wait.
Actually, that's not true. I've watched a couple of more of yours, but you've never watched one of mine.
That's not true, Chuck.
Name one.
Jaws.
You had never seen Jaws until I recommended it to you?
I'm just joking. I've rewatched it. Let's put it that way.
Oh, liar.
No, I surely have watched some of your recommendations, Chuck, because they're always good.
Find one. Rachel Stone says Sam Rockwell, versatile and adds so much to every role. Sure, he'd be great. Chris Knapp says Philip Seymour Hoffman. Since this is hypothetical, I'm picking someone no longer with us. Such versatility brought so much to each role. Heck yeah. Nicole Segerstrom says, Kristen Bell, such a nice person, would make any work experience wonderful, plus crazy talented. I think that's what I would do, Noel. I haven't named one, but I think I would go with someone really talented, but also with a reputation of being like a good person, like good to work with.
Yep. Seems smart.
You don't want, who's a big pain in the ass, but really good?
Christina Aguilera.
She's known for being a very bad actor.
Well, also in a big pain in the ass.
Yeah. I think I was thinking more actors, but that's fine. You could throw a pop star in there.
Some of them are good.
Dave Lindquist says The Rock. I want this movie to make so much money. Okay. I guess there's something to be said for that, but I got to tell you, Dave, you're not going to have a lot of fun working with The Rock. He's he's notoriously difficult on a film shoot, and not like he's a big jerk. I just think it's, when you're working with someone of that stature, hard to make a movie.
You mean like really tall?
You know, he's just, I've had friends that worked with him. We've talked about this
before.
It's all about The Rock, so it's tough to, it's tough on everyone else.
I mean, you don't name yourself The Rock unless you've got a bit of an outsized ego, I don't think, right?
I think you're probably right. But no, he's Dwayne Johnson in the movies, right?
I think he still has The Rock in there. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I swear to God.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Johnston? Is it Johnston?
Johnston, yes.
Yeah. Kathy Lowe McCrae says Stanley Tucci for any role, any movie, any time. Yeah, I love the Tucci.
He's awesome.
A lot of people are picking The Rock. All right.
They're just trying to make those grosses, you know?
Yeah. He's probably the biggest bankable star right now, right?
He's definitely a large man. It's true.
That's kind of the deal, I think. Charles Ogan says a young Russell Crowe to make a sequel to Master and Commander. Did you ever see that one?
I've heard it's excellent. I have not seen it.
That was a Chuck wreck.
Damn it, Chuck.
It's awesome. Isn't he also
notorious for like being a little bit of a...
I think Russell Crowe can be hard to work with too. Yeah. Or maybe he's just hard in his personal life, because I think most of the stories I've heard have been throwing hotel phones and stuff like that.
Right. Well, there was that South Park episode where it's just him like punching people around the world. Have you seen the movie Virtuosity, Chuck?
You know, dude, I never saw that.
It's not good, but it's like one of Russell Crowe's earliest roles, I think. He plays like a virtual... you know how awesome it is when movies in the early 90s try to depict like computer stuff? Yeah. This one is no exception. It's just like... it looks like The Sims, kind of, you know, like the technology. But Russell Crowe plays like the perfect integration of every serial killer and bad human being that ever existed into one, you know... crafted killing machine that Denzel Washington has to fight, because then he gets out into the real world,
right,
even though he's a computer program.
Yeah, those movies never age well. If you want to
make
a movie that doesn't age well, just make it about any technology.
Yeah, like The Lawnmower Man. Whew.
Well, that didn't age well 3 weeks after it was released.
Agreed.
Boy, a lot of people are saying The Rock. I didn't know The Rock was that beloved. He must be if he's the biggest box office star.
I sure liked him in Moana. I'll tell you that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
He does that little rap breakdown in that song.
Yeah. Did your kid like Moana?
What do you think?
It's pretty great.
What can I say besides you're welcome?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Over and over and over.
Yep.
I haven't seen the new Pixar. Have you seen that yet?
No. What's it called? Luca?
I think
sort of sea creature.
I really don't know anything about it, except there's some Italian cooking going on.
Ooh, well, I just know in the poster that's like a kid with like gills.
Okay. Brittany Jeldon is how I'm going to pronounce it, says, Saoirse Ronan, love historical movies, and I think she's played those roles very well. That's a great pick. She's wonderful. Big fan of Saoirse Ronan. Tara Lee Cha, one of our old pals, says James McAvoy. He cycled through, 10 different distinct characters within a 20-second time frame in Glass. I'd have total faith in him. I think we were divided on Glass, weren't we?
Well, I mean, he did that in Split.
Split, right.
Which I thought was good. And then Glass was like, he was in that again, but it was just clearly a less quality movie.
Yeah, I didn't love either one of them. I did see the new trailer, though, for the new M. Night Shyamalan. I think you told me about it. Yeah, old.
Old, the movie?
You go to a beach and you get old.
Oh, terrifying. I thought it was a pretty cool trailer, but the name is just kind of silly. But
yeah, I mean, I'll see it.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I've seen everything he's done except for that the really low-budget thing about the grandparents, which I actually heard was pretty good.
I heard that was good. It was like The Visitors or something like that.
Yeah, it's called Old, the prequel.
Yeah, it should have just been called The Olds.
Our oldest of pals, Kristen Bitsagai, says, just because I want to meet him, because I think he's charming and talented, Paul Rudd.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And ageless. Total vampire.
I know. I think, is he dyeing the hair a little bit?
He has to be.
I mean, I know he looks great with the face lines, but, you know, everyone gets a little gray and all. I don't think you can stop that train.
Agreed.
I'm looking at gray on your hair and face right now.
Are you kidding? It's like all the parts of my beard that used to be red are now stark white.
Yeah. Our old pal Stellan Carlson says 80 Bryant. Oh, of course. She's already shown she's got dramatic chops and shrill and range, plus comedic skills. And seems like a very decent person.
She does seem that way. She was one of the ones that had an issue with Elon Musk being on SNL and kind of like, I believe, sat out some of those sketches and solidarity. I think we talked about this. It looks like maybe she, Kate McKinnon, and Kenan Thompson are going to leave SNL after this season.
Yeah. Boy, that...
Those are kind of the power players, man.
Yeah, I mean, McKinnon, that's a big loss. They're all big losses. Mm-hmm. Kenan, I mean, he's the longest running cast member. That's a huge loss.
I'm sure he's ready to do something else. That seems like a really stressful gig.
It would get a little bit old, I would imagine, after like 18 years or whatever.
Yep.
Dude, did you hear about or see this Daryl Hammond documentary?
No. What's up with him? Is he
Daryl Hammond of SNL, he was the previous longest running cast member before Kenan broke his record.
He was the president, right? Didn't he play like Bush or something? He
played all the presidents. Yeah. He did most of the big impressions. That was sort of his bag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he had a very, very, and continues to have a very tough life. He was severely abused as a kid. Some of the most awful things you could imagine his mother did to him when he was a child. And he, I think, repressed a lot of those memories. And had addiction problems through his life, and then they were uncovered and with deep therapy, all these repressed abusive memories, and Jesus. He has been on the road to recovery for a while now, but like they had to take him out of a SNL rehearsal in a straitjacket. He was self-cutting, like, and you could see scars on TV, like on SNL. Really, really rough life and tough stuff.
Cracked
diagnosis,
up,
everything from manic depressive to schizophrenia to bipolar, like all over the map.
My goodness. I had not
really, really sad.
Yeah, it does sound like it sounds like a heavy watch, but probably a very important window into, you know, some of these mental health things that kind of go unseen a lot of the times, right?
For sure, man. And he wrote a book, and then I think was doing the documentary takes place when he is getting together a one-man show version of the book. And I didn't know any of this stuff about the guy. It's just horrific what he went through. Awful, awful, awful. It's hard to hear those stories, Noel.
It is.
Let me see here. Jeremy Dale says, if I pick Tom Cruise, will he do most of the rest of my job for me? Yes, he will, Jeremy. You will not have much control after that. Tom Cruise runs that show. Our old friend Megan Carroll and her cute little cat says, Fran McDormand, she would knock it out of the park and lift everyone else up.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
She's super versatile, too, I think. She doesn't really just like do the one thing. Like
she can do whatever she wants.
She can do whatever she wants. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally agree. The movie crush debut of Tanya W. Katz. And no, that is not K-A-T-Z. You know how she spells her name?
C-A-T-Z?
Nope. Close.
C-A-T-S?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Her last name is Multiple Katz.
I love that.
I love it.
Do you think she's a cat lady? Do you think it's like nominative determinism? Oh, I can't believe I said that.
Bet you she's tired of hearing that question.
Probably. But I had to ask. I had to ask, Chuck.
Do you like cats?
Do you like cats?
Tanya, there was a thread going on the Movie Crushers page about one of our listeners had their name read for the first time, and it was a big thrill. Then other people started chiming in about either being read when they were read the first time or not being read yet. And Tanya Katz had not been read. And I was like, I must not have seen you before because I would surely jump at that. So Tanya says, right now I'm obsessed with Patty Harrison.
Hmm.
And I think she's on the up and up. So her, Patty Harrison, who is that?
She.
Oh, okay. She's in Trill.
Oh, yeah.
She plays the, executive assistant office manager. Who's not a very nice person. She's very funny on that show.
That's right.
And annoying. Right. Yeah. So she's doing a good job.
I'll tell you who else is funny on that show is friend of the show, John Cameron Mitchell, who plays the egotistical and obnoxious boss, but he's delightful.
Yeah. You know, we started the last season of Shrill and I think watched two episodes and then went on to other things, but we're going to come back. It didn't hit the right note for me for some reason. Even though I love it. John Whitefield says, Taika Waititi. Yeah, put him in it. He'd be good to have on set, too, because he knows what he's doing, you know?
Agreed.
Paul Cook says, Bradley Cooper. Huge respect for his acting chops. Same goes for Jennifer Lawrence. Patrick Abbott says Audrey Hepburn. Tina Hansen Taylor says Audrey Hepburn. Wow. Alexandria Runyon says Florence Pugh. Is that how you pronounce her name?
That is.
She's great.
She's the one who was in Midsommar, right?
Yeah, and sort of everything else coming up. She's really exploding right now.
She's hot. I'll tell you who I also think is an excellent, very versatile actor is Olivia Colman, who is sure. in one of my stream this picks for today. But I loved her from way back when she was in the show Peep Show, which is a really great kind of dark British comedy. And then she's been in all those amazing movies from the guy that did the Lobster and Favorite.
Lanthimos, is that the guy?
Yorgos Lanthimos is the name that I couldn't think of, and that's the one. Yep.
And she's great in The Crown. She's great in everything.
That's right. She's in The Crown too. God, she's everywhere.
Carlito Danger Way, what a name! Says Selma Hayek. Sure, she's great. Our old friend Jonathan P. Suspansky. Says Clooney, he can do anything. I'd like to have Clooney around. He might be my pick, actually.
Have you seen the bit that he does with John Oliver, where like John Oliver can like summon him, and all of a sudden he'll just like show up in a Zoom window, like on the massage table, and then he's like, "John, that's I gave you funny. This power for good, not and you're using it very frivolously."
I love it.
He snaps his fingers and he's gone. It's pretty fun. He seems like a good dude.
Our old friend Robes Rebecca says Alan Arkin. Great choice. Rick Cole says Denzel. Denzel's solid.
Yeah.
I wonder, he seems like a good guy. Have you ever heard any stories?
I've heard no stories. I've heard no stories, but I choose to believe that he is good.
Let me see. Brandon Matich says Catherine Hahn. Love her and everything. Yeah, she's great. Boy, it seems like she came out of nowhere, like, 10 years ago and has been everywhere since, but I'm sure that is not the case. I bet she had a long road to hoe, just like every actor who works hard.
Absolutely.
Although that's not true. Some people are plucked off the goddamn street and all.
Also true. But then you've got like your Olivia Colman's, who again, you know, has got her start in just like a pretty meager British comedy that happened to have a second life kind of on streaming in the States and has gotten pretty popular. Deal? Yeah. I mean, I found out about it like from like bootleg, you know, rips and, you know, whatever, like burned DVDs that my friend would give me back in the day. But that show has gotten pretty popular in the States. And they actually did a remake of it that did not get picked up. But then I love seeing her dramatic work just absolutely balloon. But she's been at it for decades.
Todd Bonney, after my own heart here, saying Kate Blanchett. Sure, I could satisfy my lifelong crush on Kate Blanchett and direct her as well, although I would just stand back and say, do your thing. How do you direct Kate Blanchett, you know?
I don't think you can.
You can't. Marty Willis is Peter Dinklage. Yeah, Dinklage has got the goods.
You see that movie that he's in that's on Netflix? It's called I Care a Lot.
No.
It's oh gosh, what's her name? She was the Gone Girl. Who's the Gone Girl, Chuck?
Oh, man, why can't I remember her name?
Rosamund Pike.
Yes, she's good.
She is
she's
in really it good. Playing a professional guardian for the elderly, and she's basically running this elaborate scam and ends up crossing paths with Peter Dinklage's character, who is a very scary person. And it's just a wonderful movie. I really like it. It's very dark and sardonic and like not for everybody, but I thought it was great.
I think I saw the preview for that, actually. It looks good. Meenal Datta, one of our oldest pals, says Regina King. Heck yeah. Put Regina King in everything. That's what I say. Nancy Weiner says S.C. Davis, Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries, and The Babadook. Delightful, captivating, and talented. Was S.C. Davis the mom in Babadook?
I think so.
Was that the kid, or was it the Babadook? Okay, she's the mom, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Do they credit an actor? One actor is playing the Babadook?
We're like all actors.
Yeah, exactly.
The Babadook, played by everyone. Mm-hmm. All right, and let's finish up here. Oh, you got an Olivia Colman support there with our old friend Kanem Truax. How do you pronounce that? That's not right. T-R-U-A-X? Is that like Traw? Trey? Trowel?
Truax? I'm not sure. Yeah, it has to be. That's got to be a soft AUX.
I'm
right?
sure it's wrong. I'm sure it's wrong.
Who knows?
And you know what? I'm going to finish up here with a couple of our, I think they're both Aussies. I know Dan Maynard He says Ashton Kutcher. Noel. Mm-hmm. He says, might be a hot take, but I love his comedy, and I think he's a fantastic dramatic actor when given the chance. I'll fight on this one. Dan Maynard going to the mat for the cooch.
What a guy.
What a guy indeed. Peach Pankhurst says Deborah Mailman or Mailman. Do you know who that is?
No, but I love the question as to whether it's Mailman or Mailman.
Okay, so I know, yeah, Peach is an Aussie, and so is Deborah Mailman. And what looks like a bunch of Aussie things. Offspring, Red Fern Now, Total Control, The Sapphires. And Peach says this, honestly, I wish she was my auntie. She's Indigenous Australian. She's been a wonderful part of Australian cinema for a long time. I love that. Going with the homegrown special. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. Thank you for that, Peach. All right, well, we're going to finish up with streaming this. What have you been watching?
Well, I took a flight, so I watched a couple things on the flight.
Let's hear it.
One of which is something that I've been meaning to and sort of avoiding because it seemed really depressing, and it was, but it was also wonderful. The Father, starring Anthony Hopkins and Olivia Colman and Mark Gatiss. It's fucking fantastic.
Of course it is.
You know, I have a parent who is aging, and I worry about these types of things. And it is essentially just the perfect kind of personification of what it's like to lose your memory and to have things that were once familiar be terrifying and alien. Because the way what it does, it's so brilliant. This isn't a spoiler. It's just sort of like the device that they use is they put you in the perspective of Anthony Hopkins' character. So you're meeting characters not knowing who they are. They don't give you exposition to let you know this is this character, this is this character. And then they start flipping things around and you literally are experiencing it with the same confusion and dismay that that Anthony Hopkins' character is. And it just kind of escalates and becomes this like waking nightmare. And it makes you realize how terrifying it would be and is to get old.
Did you cry on the plane, Noel?
I did a little bit. I did the single tear rolling down situation that I quickly wiped away.
You can control that. You can just send out one tear to do the work.
Yep. Squeeze one out. It's a concentrated tear, Chuck. It contains all of my emotions in one tear.
Yes. So salty.
Mm-hmm. How about
and
you?
And then it eventually tumbles like
yeah, oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Some finishing salt off your
it's
cheek.
It's a very gentle roll, you know? It rolls right on down the old cheek.
What else? You said you saw a couple of things. Did you anything else on
well,
the airplane?
On the way back, I watched... it's a stupid movie I'd seen before, but it's Terrible Bosses with... what's his name?
Jason. You need something light.
Yeah, I needed something light. And it was also a red-eye flight, so I did that thing where I kind of marked time by what part of the movie I woke up during. Like, I started the movie and then kind of like realized, oh, I had slept because now it's the final scene of the movie or it's like somewhere near the last act. So
I can't do those flights, Noel.
Dude, it was tough. I had not done it before. You can't sleep comfortably on a plane. I don't care what class you're in. You just can't do it. And by the time we got home, it was 5:45 a.m. Atlanta time, and it was with my kid, and we just like beelined into the house and slept for the rest of the day. It was I thought I was doing myself a favor by giving myself a day back, but it wasn't really a day back.
No, it's always a bad idea. I will say, Noel, first class Virgin Air to Australia, you can sleep good.
Okay, got it.
It's amazing.
Got it.
They really take care of you. Let me see here. All right, what have I been watching up? Well, see, I've been watching basketball because my Atlanta Hawks are
nice. They're advancing. Kicking ass. Yeah.
They're kicking ass. They're advancing through the playoffs, much to everyone's surprise, I think, in the greater NBA fandom. I've been to a game. I'm going to two Eastern Conference Finals games. I'm heavily invested in all. Been a Hawks fan since I was 10 years old, so this is a big deal. So I've been watching a lot of basketball, so not as much TV. I have been watching Chopped a lot. Do you watch Chopped?
I like Chopped. That's the one where you have to like, you get the basket, right? With all the, you get the basket. Random stuff. Yeah.
You know, I love Top Chef and I used to watch Chopped all the time when I had cable because it was just on the cable guide, but I kind of forgot about it when I switched and cut the cord and went to Hulu TV. But then I remembered, wait a minute, I fucking love Chopped. Mm-hmm. So I found it and I've been watching a lot of Chopped. Ruby calls it She'll watch occasionally with me. She'll say, Daddy, I want to watch the show with the stressed out people cooking.
She says that?
She does.
Stressed out? I love it.
Stressed out people cooking. And the other day, she was, it was this one woman competing against these two men, and she was rooting for the woman to go home and get chopped. She said, I want her to get chopped. And I said, well, why? And she said, because she's a woman. I said, well, why do you want her to get chopped? Because she's a woman. She said, because I don't want her to be stressed anymore.
Wow. Yeah.
And I went, oh, it all came around. No.
That's really sweet. That's really sweet.
She had compassion for this
woman. Yeah, that's really stressful.
Didn't want to see her on there running around stressed.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes they cry.
You know, it doesn't happen much now with the travel, but occasionally when I'm out of town, Emily will let Ruby get in bed and watch shows, adult shows, and then I will do the same. And she will watch Chop with me and Island Hunters with Emily, and that's sort of her special treat.
That's awesome.
And it's fun to hear a 5.5-year-old say, I want to watch Island Hunters.
I don't know what Island Hunters is, Chuck. I'm trying to guess using context clues, but is it like an exploring type show?
No.
What is Island Hunters?
It's HGTV, people that are rich enough to buy a fucking island.
Oh, to buy an island. Okay. Yeah. Right on.
And these are, I mean, well, some of them are decent sized
islands. So it's like aspirational television. It's like,
yeah, I mean,
I
it's a
be,
fun show. I like the HGTV stuff. Mm-hmm. If you're into houses and real estate, then I am. We've been watching a little bit more Marvel. I told you Emily's going through these movies kind of slowly. We're on Winter Soldier now, kind of going in order. Mm-hmm. And that's with like skipping the first Thor movie. I'm trying to curate movies that I think she would enjoy. And that first Thor movie wasn't that great.
Yeah, the first one, they were really trying to find what that character was. It was enough to get people kind of on board, but you're right. It just got better and better and better.
Got better and better. And then, Noel, I took your rec, and we finished Hacks in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great.
It's lovely, isn't it?
It's awesome. Jean Smart is so fucking good.
No, she's
awesome. I want to see her win awards. This third act in her career is just really cool and inspiring to watch. Who's the young actor? What is her name?
Oh, I'd never heard of her before. I don't know what she's from, but she's
really Hannah good. Einbinder. Yeah, I think she was relatively unknown. I believe she was a comedian that they sort of plucked out of the LA comedy scene. And, it's great. I love, who was it, that plays Marcus? Chad Clemens Hopkins.
Yeah.
Is good. Paul Downs as the agent is good. I love Kiki, her friend played by Poppy Lou. She's so funny. The only thing I don't like, Noel, there are two characters that I don't like, and it makes it actually hard to watch those scenes. The assistant to the agent.
Yes.
Oh, I just can't do it, Noel. It's such a trope of the annoying assistant that's not good at her job, and it's just, she's so annoying.
Well, she's the one who's like, I believe she's her father is like owns the company or something like
that. Right. But she takes it to such an absurd level that it's not even believable in a show that is grounded in reality. Mm-hmm. And she's so over the top bad at her job. It's like, come on. Like, no one, it's too much. It doesn't fit the tone of the show.
I agree.
So I have a hard time watching those scenes. And then I hate to say it, one of my old favorite actors, Jane Addams, is on the show as Ava's mom. And I just don't like what she did with the character. She's too neurotic and over the top. It just doesn't fit. And I don't know. I love Jane Addams, but I don't like those scenes. And she's not in a ton of them, so it's not that big of a deal.
Right. Well, yeah. No, never mind. No spoilers. I think everyone would like the show, though. It's like it fills a nice middle ground between reality and not being too heavy and also having some heart. And there's some, like, you know, some serious things happen on the show, but it's very watchable.
It's
and
very funny. Yeah. Like, the writing is super, super top notch because it's about a comedian and a comic writer. And I think you kind of got to nail that stuff. You can tell, I think it's fairly believable. Like, whoever writes the stuff, you can tell probably probably comes from the stand-up world, would be my guess.
It looks like Jean Smart is favored to win the Emmy. For best Hacks. Comedy actress.
She's great. I love it.
Oh, one thing that was funny, Chuck, about this LA trip, and you've mentioned this before from living there, but I don't think I'd ever been there during this time, maybe, but the four-year consideration campaigns.
It's
they're everywhere. And it's like all of a sudden you're seeing billboards for shows that came out like a year ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? And then you see all of them say for your Emmy consideration at the top. And they're just
spend
all
a
over
lot
town.
Of money on that shit. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting.
But isn't it funny that that's what it takes? Because you think about it, I guess these are all just human beings that vote, that are on this, you know, whatever voting board, I guess. And they have to be reminded of like what shows to think about, right?
It's like the most base advertising, which is, it's like showing the cheeseburger on the board and counting on someone to go, oh man, I haven't had a Big Mac in a while. It's counting on someone driving down Sunset, some producer and voter to say, oh yeah, well, you know. Gene Smart was good in that.
I like that one. Or like, especially shows again that like I think shows that come out a little closer to Emmy season probably have a better chance a lot of times.
Agreed.
Because people forget.
Yeah, yeah, you got to nudge them a bit, especially like you said with the pandemic. Like some of this stuff is old. All right, Noel. Well, that's it for this ep, and we will close with a prayer.
Mm-hmm, okay, I'm ready. My head is bowed.
God bless us, everyone, and good day.
Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown, edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson, and scored by Noel Brown here in our home studio at Ponce Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.